Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, now our climate story of the week, which we do every Tuesday on the show. And today, an update on the state of offshore wind projects in New York State. In 2023, last year, a number of renewable energy projects in New York State were killed off because of supply chain issues and the rising costs of completing those projects. There were big hopes that 2024 would be different, and a major plan to build three wind farms near Albany was central to those hopes. Now those projects are dead in the water, and developers are casting blame on General Electric for the setback. It's a big hit for New York's climate and energy goals and for the nation's by extension. So we'll talk about what happened, and we'll get some context now from Marie French, who covers energy and the environment for Politico New York. Hi, Marie. Thanks for doing this. Welcome back to WNYC. Do we have Marie? Marie, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
There we go. Now we have you. All right. And you write, in the rush to save New York's offshore industry from collapse last fall, Governor Kathy Hochul's administration bet big on three new wind farms. A wind would be just the kind the Biden administration is looking for, pairing clean energy with union jobs and domestic manufacturing, unquote from your article. So what could have been? What was initially planned?
Yeah, so Brian, these were sort of the reset projects that Governor Kathy Hochul announced in October last year. These would be three, you know, more than 1,300 megawatt wind projects south of Long Island in the ocean, paired with two huge factories for blades and nacelles, which are the guts of wind turbines, in the capital region near Albany. So this was sort of a huge win for New York, a really big step in securing some of that manufacturing supply chain that states in the Northeast are really competing for right now.
Those offshore wind projects you reported would have provided 6.6% of New York's needed electricity by 2030. Can you put that number in context? What's 6% of New York's energy needs in terms of money or kilowatts, that's probably not how you want to put it, or, you know, help for the climate?
Well, to put that in some context, right now, New York only has about 27 or 28% renewable energy. The state's goal in 2030 is 70% of the forecast load in that year. So the offshore wind projects are really significant because they generate more power, right? You build these turbines in the ocean and they just catch more wind than if you build a turbine on land. So the state's onshore portfolio right now, they just announced 24 projects with, I think it was roughly 2,500 megawatts of capacity, but that will only be about 3% of the state's renewables in 2030.
And so that's some context, but New York's big bet on wind farms has so far not paid off, including now these three planned installations near Albany, dead in the water. What happened?
Yeah, so these three projects, you know, south of Long Island were predicated on GE Vernova, which is sort of a spinoff from GE when it split into different companies, building larger turbines than have previously been built for offshore wind. So these turbines would have been 18 megawatts, and sort of the standard right now is closer to 15 or even less. But GE ultimately backed out of that plan. You know, they decided that they wanted to focus on sort of a more mid-sized turbine on a proven technology platform that they already had, and weren't able to move forward with these major factories in the Albany area that would have provided thousands of jobs and, you know, millions in economic development. So the state and the offshore wind developers are all sort of pointing the finger at GE Vernova for not following through on this agreement, and GE Vernova is saying, you know, well, we think the turbine that we've chosen to go forward with is a better investment for the future anyway.
And listeners, we can take a few phone calls about the state of wind energy in New York after three key wind farm projects just collapsed. Our guest is Marie French, who covers energy and the environment for Politico New York, and who reports that Governor Kathy Hochul's big bet on those three new wind farms and an even bigger bet on General Electric have so far not paid off. You can weigh in or ask her a question, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, call or text. Marie, you're right, and it's a follow-up to what you were just describing about the state betting on GE. You write, the irony of GE's troubles was that it was supposed to be a panacea for the offshore wind industry's supply chain issues. So what specifically did GE promise and then not deliver?
So GE Vernova had committed to building both a factory for blades for offshore wind turbines and nacelles, which are the guts of the turbine that turn the spinning of those blades into electricity. So that would have, you know, meant we don't have to ship it from overseas. You know, it's built here in the U.S., which is obviously a big priority of, you know, Governor Hochul and the Democratic administration in Washington. It's also, you know, these projects were agreed to after sort of all this upending of the supply chain with Ukraine and everything else going on in the world, the pandemic. So they had inflation adjustments built into their contracts. So as costs potentially would continue to rise, they would have been able to stay on track rather than have to, you know, say we can't do this anymore as the previous projects have.
So you're right, 2024 was supposed to be offshore wind's year. Instead, it's looking more like the disastrous 2023, where several projects in New York and New Jersey were canceled or had to be reworked because of inflation and supply chain issues. I guess one key takeaway here is that wind projects are really, really difficult and expensive, especially apparently in the Northeast. Because we've talked about political opposition before, you know, made up things like it's killing whales and all these other things. But it sounds more like you're describing business obstacles on the part of GE and others. So how do they get past that? How do they now rewind and try to come at it yet another way?
Yeah, so I mean, I think the ball is really in state, you know, the hands of New York, New Jersey, and the other states that are pursuing these projects. So New York is gearing up for another, you know, solicitation to try to secure contracts with, you know, potentially some reimagined version of these projects or the other bidders that didn't secure contracts and some of those that are still sort of working on their plans. New Jersey also is opening a solicitation, I believe, voting on it today at their Board of Public Utilities. So states are, you know, they're kind of keeping their chin up and saying, you know, we're going to move forward with this industry. We think it has great promise. And they're making some changes to the way they tie together some of the supply chain components with the offshore wind projects themselves as well, which, you know, kind of shows they're learning from these experiences and these really big blows to the ambitions.
Listener writes, I am texting from Croton near Indian Point. I'm wondering what has replaced Indian Point's electricity generation. Do you have an answer to that?
I do indeed. Largely, you know, natural gas has filled in. You can see that actually in the past couple of days, the state's grid operator has come out with their report on, you know, the fuel mix in 2023. And there's been a pretty big increase in how much of that is fossil fuel, from about 39% in 2019 before any of the Indian Point units closed down, up to roughly 49% in 2023.
And so can the state still meet its goal of getting 70% of electricity from renewable energy by 2030?
I think it's incredibly challenging right now to see that happen. You know, the state today or earlier this week did announce, you know, some additional onshore renewable awards. So right now for, you know, built contracted in the pipeline investments, they're at about 60%. But that 10% is going to be really challenging given that most of these offshore wind projects that are going to be contracted in the future probably will not be able to come online in time for 2030.
Yeah. And how's the state responding? What has it indicated will be the next step toward getting those climate and energy goals back on course? You talked before about how it might try again with another company for wind farms. What about overall?
Yeah, so it's accelerating the process of securing onshore contracts as well. So we're likely to see both offshore wind and onshore solicitations later this year to try and fill in that remaining gap. It's going to be really interesting to watch. You know, the state has not released cost details for its latest provisional awards for the onshore, you know, solar and wind projects. So we don't know how much more these are going to cost than the ones that were originally awarded and had sought higher prices from the state.
A follow-up to the listener from Croton's Indian Point question. Does nuclear energy remain a dead letter, at least in terms of any expansion in New York State? I think the implication of that listener's question was nuclear energy, for whatever risks it does pose, is more climate friendly. And so we've gone backwards in that respect if Indian Point's power has been replaced by natural gas.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think the tone of the conversation around new nuclear in New York has definitely shifted over the past few years. I remember a few years ago, I was speaking to a top energy official, and they were basically like, nah, that wouldn't be part of it. At a public hearing a couple of years ago, another one had said, you know, they don't see that ever happening in New York. But the tone has definitely shifted. I think there's now openness to that idea. Whether, you know, anything like that could be online by 2030, I think, you know, I'm not sure about that. And the mechanisms for contracting for something like that would have to go through the state's Public Service Commission, which, no offense to my friends there, but isn't the fastest mover.
All right. Well, with the news peg being the collapse of these three wind farm projects in the Albany area, another setback for the transition to clean energy in New York State, we leave it for our climate story of the week for this week with Marie French, who covers energy and the environment for Politico New York. Marie, thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Brian. It's great to be back.